Chapter 5. A Country Christmas. In the United States, when I was young, the same films were on television every Christmas. One film was my favourite, and I watched it every year. It was called Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and it was about a beautiful old car that could fly and took the owner to a magic land. The story was great, but what I really wanted was that car. 15 years later, last Christmas Eve, my dream had come true. I was driving, well, I was in the passenger seat, through the English countryside in a 1925 Bentley, a beautiful English car. It wasn't the same car, but it reminded me of my favourite film, and I felt like a child again. I was wearing a leather hat, a jacket and goggles. It was very, very cold, and the sky was grey, but I was the happiest man on earth. One of my friends from university, Nicola Caswell, who is English, had invited me to her parents' house for Christmas. My parents were in the States, and I hadn't made any plans for Christmas. She told me her family liked celebrating the festive period properly and would be happy to show me an English Christmas. "But I hope you won't be bored," she told me. "Bored? How could I be bored?" I replied. "I've never spent Christmas in England before, and I would love going to your parents' house." My parents live in a little village in the country, a long way from the nearest town, which is called Stamford. It's beautiful, and there are lots of old houses and churches, but it's not very exciting. "I'd love to spend Christmas with your family. You've told me so much about them. I know I'll have a wonderful time," I insisted. Nicola had told me about her family, but she hadn't told me about her father's old Bentley. It didn't occur to her that I would be interested. She had grown up with it, and for her, it wasn't important. But going for a drive in the Bentley was the best Christmas present I'd had for many years. We drove through narrow country roads to a village where the members of the Bentley Drivers Club were having a Christmas reunion. We were the first people to arrive, and we parked outside the pub next to the village green, an oval area of grass in the middle of the village. There was a duck pond and old stone houses, and suddenly there were three more Bentleys coming down the road towards us. "Look, Nicola," I cried. "I love all those Bentleys." "Yes, I know," she replied. "What would you like to drink?" How could she be so calm? This was all so exciting. "Quick, take a photo of me in the car," I said, and gave her my camera. "You're funny," she said as she took my photo. "You're like a little boy with a new toy." "I don't care. I'm having a great time. And you were worried that I'd be bored." I spent the next hour outside with Hugh Caswell, Nicola's father, talking to the owners of the Bentleys and looking at the cars and their engines. Then, when we were all so cold that we couldn't talk, we went inside the pub, sat next to a big fire, and drank a pint of good British beer. It was like so many films I had seen about England, but this was real. It was dinner time on Christmas Eve, but something was wrong. Where were the roast turkey, the roast potatoes and vegetables, the traditional food for a British Christmas? We had a nice meal, but I was disappointed because Nicola had told me that her family celebrated Christmas properly. While we were having coffee, I whispered to Nicola, "Listen, I don't want to be rude, but doesn't your family like turkey?" "What do you mean?" she said, looking surprised. "Why didn't we have turkey for Christmas dinner?" Nicola started to laugh, and then she explained that in England, they eat the traditional meal on Christmas Day, not on Christmas Eve like we do in Spain. I felt so stupid. I had forgotten that. It was what we used to do when we lived in the United States. Of course, Nicola told her parents and her sister Claire, and they all thought it was very funny. "Don't worry," Claire said. "We've got a turkey for tomorrow, and it's enormous." After dinner, We all went to midnight mass in the village church, just like the Spanish tradition. I sat next to Nicola's mother, Judy. "There are a lot of people here tonight," she whispered to me. "Normally on Sundays, there are only 30 or 40 people in church, but it's a tradition to come to midnight mass. Many people come who don't normally go to church." "This is wonderful," I whispered to her. "Thank you for inviting me to spend Christmas with you."
"It's our pleasure," she said. "We're very happy that you're here. It's lovely to see you enjoying yourself so much."
I was enjoying myself because it was different and because everything was new for me. Also, Nicola, her parents and Claire made me feel like part of their family. I felt very lucky, and when we stood up to sing "O Come All Ye Faithful," a traditional British Christmas carol, I sang with everyone else and had a big smile on my face. That night, Father Christmas came to the house and left presents for everyone. Obviously, it wasn't really Father Christmas, but Nicola, Claire, and their parents continued the tradition they had started when the girls were children. Most families leave stockings for Father Christmas, but we always have pillowcases. "We're lucky. Our Father Christmas is very generous," Nicola told me. When we were young, we used to leave mince pies, the traditional Christmas pastries, for Father Christmas next to the fireplace. He could come down the chimney and have something to eat before he left our presents, explained Claire. "One year, Claire left a carrot in the garden for the reindeer," laughed Nicola, "and in the morning, there was only half a carrot."
"I don't normally eat carrots at 1 a.m., said their father, "but then Christmas is a special occasion."
On Christmas morning, when I got up and opened the curtains, the whole world outside was white. It was snowing. How perfect. "After we've opened our presents, we'll go for a walk," Nicola told me at breakfast.
"But it's still snowing. We'll get wet," I protested.
"I know, but it will be fun," she replied. "Everybody dreams about a white Christmas." We all sat around the Christmas tree and opened the little presents from Father Christmas. He had left some traditional English mustard for me, made with beer. Then the family exchanged their presents with each other, and they hadn't forgotten me either. Nicola's parents gave me a bottle of Scotch whisky, and Nicola gave me a book about Shakespeare. And then, as Nicola had promised, we all went for a walk in the snow. "We have to get some exercise before we have the turkey," Judy told me. "After the meal, we won't be able to move." We walked across the fields and through a wood to the next village, and then home again. We got cold and wet, but we all had great fun in the snow. At dinner time, when we sat down, there were things called Christmas crackers on every plate. These crackers are cylindrical in shape and made of different coloured paper. Two people have to hold each end of a cracker and pull. The cracker opens with a bang, and inside there is a coloured paper hat, a joke written on a piece of paper, and a small present. We all ate dinner wearing red, blue, and green hats. At first, I felt silly, but then I realized that it was part of the tradition of Christmas. And our Christmas dinner was exactly what I had hoped it would be. We had turkey, lots of potatoes and vegetables, good red wine from Rioja, and then we had Christmas pudding, the traditional Christmas dessert made with raisins and almonds. Delicious. That night, I told the Caswell family that this had been a very memorable Christmas for me. "We like Christmas to be special," said Hugh. "For Judy and myself, the religious side is important, but the opportunity to celebrate as a family is more important. I like coming home and having a day when we all enjoy being together. And I like the fact that Christmas is the same every year," added Claire.
"I like the tradition," said Nicola.
"Exactly, the tradition. It was a Christmas that I will never forget."